everybody who's here this morning. And I'm going to join with Wes and Edward and talk about this day and this weekend, tomorrow and this weekend in particular. I want to talk about Memorial Day. And you'll notice the way that I put it up here on the title slide, and that is build an ark in my home, Memorial Day. So what in the world does Memorial Day have to do with building an ark in my home? Well, I think it has a lot to do with it. Let me back up and say it like this. If I were back home, where Wes and I have come from, in my hometown of Decatur, there is a park there that has a big celebration for Memorial Day. They call it the Spirit of America, event, presentation. And it has grown from the time that I was a boy. If I were back home today, for example, if I got up, and I used to try to do that early on this Sunday before Memorial Day, from daylight on, you would see the skies between my hometown of Decatur, usually all the way to Athens, Wes's hometown. You see them lined with hot air balloons of every size and shape and color. They would be floating in the sky, and it would be rather magnificent on a beautiful Sunday morning before Memorial Day. And it would remind you, this is Memorial Day weekend. This is the time that we stop to remember. And as I grew older, I would think back to even when I was a boy and some of the events of this weekend in the particular denomination that I grew up in. Some of the things that we did in my family, a family that is rich in tradition of people who are in the Army, go into the Army, make careers out of being in the Army. They become people who fight and sometimes die for our country. I would think about various relatives, for example, a couple of them who were captured and held in prison camps during the war or various wars. I'd also think about going back, and I'll close this little segment, but I think back to 1970, Memorial Day, just before I was 11 years old. Now, some of you will remember the actor Audie Murphy. If you like Westerns, and I love them, then you know who Audie Murphy is. That was my first memory of him. And then I got to reading about him, and I liked him very much. He was a favorite actor of mine. And I realized that he had been the most decorated soldier in World War II, same war that my grandfather was in. And he had received every imaginable medal and Medal of Honor and various ones from different countries for the things that he had done in the war. And one of the strange things about him, and this always just stood out in my mind, is that he lied about his age and went in when he was like 15 years old. And so most of that he was doing before the age that most of us would graduate high school. It was rather an amazing character, and he was going to be, and I was excited about it at 10 years old, he was going to be the guest of honor at the Spirit of America celebration. And he was in a private plane on the way, and just outside of my hometown, he crashed and died. And so I always thought about that as I watched these beautiful balloons dot the sky, and, you know, a lot of times the weather is just awesome, you know, this time of the year. And so I would think about all of that, and it made me think about the things that you are supposed to think about as we set this day aside, Memorial Day. And so I want to talk about some things this morning. And you'll notice the phrase, and I'm going to emphasize this phrase, lest we forget. Lest we forget. One of the duties, I believe, of godly parents, and I'm going to spend three lessons as we close out this quarter of Build an Ark in My Home, talking about the home, talking about moms and dads and children in the home. But one of the duties of godly parents is to teach their children respect for what they have. And, importantly, what it took for them to have it. You're not just born into this world, and if you are and you have things in this life, You don't just have them for no reason. You didn't just, quote, unquote, luck into it. It wasn't something that just happened that came about with no price, no cost. People didn't make sacrifices. That may and probably does include your parents, but it includes a whole lot of other people, as Wes said, as Edward said. It includes a lot of other people. But if children are not reminded while they're growing up of their heritage, and I mean why they enjoy what they do, their advantages, for example, their freedoms, their opportunities, then they will likely forget that. I dare say if you went out on the streets of America, and this is one of the things that bothers me, honestly. I'm all for education. I'm all for this being 2018 and so forth and so on. But I dare say if you were to go out on the streets or even into the schools and poll people and ask them about the sacrifices that were made in the Revolutionary War, of people who went through Valley Forge, or of people who, you know, got in a tank like my grandfather, or went behind the lines in Vietnam like my uncle, if you were to ask them about those events in history, they couldn't tell you. They wouldn't know Lexington and Concord and the Boston Massacre. They have no idea about those things. They're not emphasized, they're not taught, they're not remembered. And if children are not reminded of their heritage, if they're not reminded of why they had the advantages they do, the freedoms they enjoy, if they don't know what the Emancipation Proclamation is all about, if they don't understand that and the opportunities they have because of it, then they'll likely forget, and they'll take it for granted, and most likely, they'll squander what's been given to them at such a high cost. Now, we may be living in that time, I don't know. I pray to God we are not. But if we are living in that time when no one remembers, and therefore people take for granted, and then people squander, it will be a sad day in the future. And so I want to talk about this morning, lest we forget. I want us to go to the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to spend about half my time in the book of Deuteronomy, so it'll be very easy for you to follow along. But I want us to hear what God has to say. Now, I read Deuteronomy 6 several weeks ago, and I said we'd come back to this. So let's do that this morning. Remember, some of you were talking about the Shema, and I mentioned that up here, the crux of the Jewish Old Testament law and how the Jews saw it, the first and great commandment. We find that in Deuteronomy 6. We see it down in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, Jesus adds, with all your might and all your strength, all your mind and all your strength, your might. You will love him this way, and these words which I command you this day will be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, notice, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know, he's just talking about daily living here. When you're sitting around in the home, when you get up in the morning, and everybody's running around getting ready, when you're going to bed at night, you know, and perhaps even when the kids are little and you're reading them bedtime stories, work in a story or two about what it took to get them to where they are. They're fascinating stories. And even bind them for a sign, he says, upon your hand and frontlets between your eyes. And I liken that to some of the things we do. We wear, you know, things around our neck. Some people put tattoos on themselves. Some people hang up pictures in the house. Remember like we had with the Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Sometimes people put things on the refrigerator, but put things up in a very conspicuous fashion so that your kids will see that. And notice he says, and write them on the post of your house and on your gates, and it shall be. Verse 10, if you do all of that, then the Lord your God shall have brought you, when he has, shall have brought you into the land that he swore, that he promised to give to your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. When he brings you in, and you have all these cities that you didn't build, and you enjoy all these things that you didn't, you know, vineyards and gardens you didn't plant, wells that you didn't dig, and so forth and so on. Then he says, then beware, verse 12, lest you forget the Lord who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware. Because it's easy to forget. Time passes, things become old-fashioned, and sometimes they're reduced, as they are in this country, to a sign on the side of the road. I was on the way to the hospital to visit the other day, and I noticed on 287 there was a sign, just one of those little historical marker signs, Washington's headquarters. We have signs around. About anywhere you go, we can go a couple of, well, mile or so from this church building right here, up, on Eagle Rock, we can see such a sign. But they're reduced to that. And you drive around and you see those signs and you maybe read them quickly or whatever as you're passing, but you really don't know what that's all about. It's important we remember. Yes, these people are long dead and gone. But what they did, what they left for us, is important. In the same way that when generations would come in the land of promise in Canaan, and the children's 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 children would long since be removed from what it took to get there, they needed to be reminded. They needed to be told. Turn over with me, if you will, to chapter 8. Interestingly, in chapter 8, he goes on with this yet again. And he said, all the commandments that I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you will remember all the way which the Lord God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, notice that, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he goes on with this, and he did humble you, and he allowed you to be hungry and fed you with manna, which you didn't know where it came from, is the idea. And neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, or bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, people can quote that, but what does it mean? Where did it come from? And notice, for them in their day, the whole idea of that phrase that is reduced again to a byline, the whole idea was, God brought you out here. God tested you. God let you go hungry so he then would miraculously feed you to humble you, to get you to remember where bread comes from. Bread doesn't just come from the bread box because mom remembered to pick it up from the store. Bread comes at a cost, at a price. You come in from school and you make a PBJ, and you take some bread, peanut butter, and jelly, and you slap it together, and you eat a sandwich, and you don't stop to think the cost, the price that went into you being able to do that without a thought. This day and this weekend is to remember the cost. People have died so you can eat a PBJ in peace. Important to remember. And God goes on here. And he said, you remember the time when your clothes didn't get old. Now, we all know about clothes, and I wear them till they literally are just like this ragged, man. Because I hate spending money on clothes. I'm wearing clothes that I dug back out. You know, when I could grow back down into it, I dug this out of my closet and my drawer, packed away since the 1980s. Okay? Yeah, I know some of you, wow, yeah, well, that's the truth. Yeah. That's the truth. Well, thank you. But the point is, God said, you know, you were out there in the wilderness, and I took care of you. Your clothes didn't get old. Your shoes didn't wear out. I took care of you. And I humbled you, and I taught you a lesson that the Lord your God is one Lord, and every blessing you enjoy comes from me. That's what I taught you. And he goes on to talk about that, man, a land with fountains and rivers and so forth, verse 7, a land that has an abundance of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness. We live in such a land. I mean, really and truly, we live in a place where it is just like that. We don't go to the grocery store hoping we can find an allotment of the same thing we had the last 7 days, the last 52 weeks, etc. We don't live like that. We go to the grocery store hoping we can find something new because we're bored with the abundance of food we have. You go to the Smithsonian Institute, and there is a section there that talks about grocery stores and talks about how once in this country, not that long ago, you went to a grocery store, quote unquote, and you chose from way less than 100 items. And then in the lifetime of most of us, myself included, you went to a grocery store and you picked from several thousand items, only to come to today where there is every kind of grocery store and you can choose from tens of thousands of things. Man, do we live in a place where we can eat bread without scarceness or what? But what at what cost? And when you've eaten, verse 10, and you're full, and you bless, then you will bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. But notice verse 11, he says it again. Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and you're full and you have goodly houses, beautiful homes. Are the homes of America beautiful or what? When you have these beautiful homes and you live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, and your heart is then lifted up, verse 14, and you forget the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, that led you through that great and terrible wilderness wherein fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought forth water even out of a rock, who led you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know that where it came from, that he might humble you and test you to do good at your latter end. And you say in your heart, verse 17, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me all this wealth. Boy, that's a dangerous thing. I remember a king in Daniel 4 that walked out and looked at all that his hand, all his might and his power had gotten, and was humbled immediately to live like an animal. You think that can't happen to us? I mean, we live in a world, in a country filled with blessings, and we think it can never end. Our greatest worries about what is going to come on TV today. Are the Cavs going to win or lose? That's our worry. That's what we think about. That's what concerns us. And we don't realize that we live in a country that is like not many places on earth, where people scrounge around sometimes for garbage to eat. And do we think that this can't happen to us? God says, you teach it and you remind these kids. And you teach them so that they know, so they grow up knowing where it came from. Yes, it came at the high cost, at the price of even men and women dying for that. But it also came because God blessed us with it. Man does not live by bread alone. And what that means is, bread alone is not what should concern you. What should concern you is the one who gave you all the advantages, all the freedoms, all the opportunities you have. Or you can lose it. Read with me one final passage in Deuteronomy 11. I told you I was going to spend about half the time on this book. But in Deuteronomy chapter 11, notice verse 1. Therefore you will love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgment, his commandments always. And know you this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God. Know this day his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm. Know his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their houses, and to their chariots. and how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, what he did to all of them, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their households and their tents and all their substance. He said, but your eyes, verse 7, have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. They were children when they saw this. And like as not, now they're old, or certainly middle-aged, and their children and even their children's children have come and they didn't even see it. And what God is saying is it is so easy to forget. So easy. And therefore shall you keep the commandments which I command you this day, verse 8, that you may be strong and that you may go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give unto them. Notice how many times he's reminding them of that. A land that flows with milk and honey. For the lands which you go in to possess, not as the land of Egypt, from where you came out, when you sowed seed and you watered it with your own foot as a garden of herbs, but the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, drinking water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord your God cared for. You remember when he told Abraham, you can't have the land, you can have it in the fourth generation. Well, what he's telling them here is, it was still your land. I promised you, and I took care of the land. And I prepared it for you. You know, it's kind of like when parents will teach their children, and it's fine. I want Juliet to have a far greater life in every respect than I have. I want her to enjoy things I never had. But one of the things I don't want her to ever forget is the cost that it takes to get there. You know, it's one thing to provide for your children and give them all these advantages and opportunities. I'm all for that. But I want kids to know what it takes to have that. You know, your father and your mother, let's start with them. If they went out there and worked, they cared about working. You know, they worked hard. Sometimes day and night. Sometimes when they didn't feel good. And if they made those sacrifices, you should know that. And you should remember it. And when you go out and you enjoy things that your mom and dad didn't have, there should be something in the back of your mind, because your parents put it there, to say, man, what I have because mom and dad were willing to work so hard. And then when you go out and you enjoy things, you enjoy the opportunities you do. You're able to work at jobs you want to work. Live in homes you want to live in. If you want more, you can have it. When you do all of that, say, what price did this come at? How many people in this world do not enjoy this? That's what God is saying here. God is saying, you teach your children to remember, because this land was given to you. And it's the land that the Lord your God took care of. The eyes of the Lord your God were always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Verse 13, it will come to pass, if you hearken diligently to my commandment, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of the land in due season. And he goes on to talk about that. I will give it to you. I'll make sure it rains when it needs to rain. I'll make sure the crops are productive, the animals grow. I'll make sure no enemy attacks you. He says all of that in here. But if you don't, if you forget, and you don't remember that God gave this to you, if you don't remember that it is the Lord your God blessing you, if you forget to teach your children who will teach their children, and they forget, now, just like the man said, you in trouble? No, you in bad trouble. Because I won't tolerate this great gift being taken for granted. And that's a warning we have for God. I don't believe that that's a warning just for those people. I think it's timeless. I think what God would say is that righteousness exalts a nation. And remembering, not forgetting, being thankful for the ones who provided for you, that is righteous. Righteousness exalts a nation. Let me close with a couple of comments. Memorial Day, this day, tomorrow, traditionally we celebrate it on the last Monday of the month, technically May the 30th, which is what, Thursday? Whatever it is. But anyway, we traditionally celebrate it now on the last Monday of May. And I dare say that tomorrow will be consumed for most Americans with a combination of things that, I mean, people are traveling, they vacation, the beaches will be crowded. You'll be able to walk out early in the morning, even late tonight. The barbecues, if it's not raining, will already be going, you know. And you can smell it. Boy, it will smell good. And there will be an abundance of sports for those who love sports. And you can watch all kinds of sports, baseball, basketball, etc. And there will be all kinds of activities to engage in. If you're not, you know, the organized sports, you know, you can go to the park. And you can go to the park and find a pickup game anytime. If you're where I'm from in other parts of America, you can go and witness extravagant displays like those hot air balloons and all of that. You can drive anywhere in this country, and there's so many beautiful places within driving distance to everybody that lives in this country, and just sit and appreciate the beauty of this world. We have so many blessings. Don't forget where they came from. Don't forget to be thankful. Honor those people who paid a price. Whether it's your mom and dad, it's your aunt and uncle, your grandparents, it's somebody that fought in the war, a neighbor you knew, or whoever it might be. Honor those people. Honor those people who paid a price so you can have what you have. Take a moment. Be thankful. Even thank God for the freedom you enjoy and the blessings you are enjoying tomorrow. Don't merely be consumed in some selfish way of this is my day and I am going to enjoy it without being thankful at all. I earned it. You know, that's what we typically say. This is my day. I earned this. Well, okay. I'll buy that. But that's not all that went into it. Be thankful. Honor those people that paid such a high cost. You know, memorials, and I'll just mention this quickly before I close. Memorials are designed to remind us of what we need to remember. Some important event, you know, some date in history, like July the 4th. You know, that should be a date that stands out to every American. Somebody, someone or people who have done something that affected us significantly. Obviously, Wes was talking about that at the table. Edward was talking about that. For Christians, we all understand it is Jesus that has affected us more than anybody and the sacrifice he made. But they're designed to help us remember, lest we forget. I just want to run through, interestingly enough, you know, God has established a number of memorials. And I wonder if we think about these things. For example, let's just look at some of the memorials in history. I was watching TV last night. It was set in Hawaii. And it was a valley. It was a view from a mountain down into a valley, and there was this beautiful rainbow. Do you know where a rainbow came from? Do you ever go back and remind yourself in Genesis 9? I mean, we see a rainbow and it's beautiful. But do you remind yourself that is God's token for his promise he made to never again destroy the earth by a flood. To remind us that there is a judgment day coming. It won't be by water. It'll be by fire this time. But to remind us, it's God's memorial to what he did in the great flood. You know, we could go on with that. We could say the very name of God. Remember God talking to Moses and Moses saying, who shall I say sent me? I mean, they're going to want to know the name of my God. So who should I say? Well, Jehovah or Yahweh or however you want to pronounce that. But the very idea of the name of God being the self-existent God. The one God that is not made by man. The one God that is, I am that I am, has sent you. I mean, that in itself is a memorial. Do we say the name of God and stop to think about what it means? Do we ever stop to reflect upon the very name of God and all the power, all the creative power, etc., the protective power, for that's where he was going, to have his people released from bondage in Egypt. Do we ever stop to think about that? It's God's memorial, too. And then there are certain stories that are recorded. There was a great battle in Exodus 17. And God said to Moses, write this down. First time we ever see anybody writing in the Bible. Write this down and pass this story on. And if you remember in Mark 14, when the woman, you know, bowed at the feet of Jesus and put the perfume and so forth, very costly ointment on his feet, maybe so costly it might have cost, some say it cost about a year's wages to buy this. And people were looking at that and say, man, what a waste, throw it on somebody's feet, you know. And yet the point was made there in that passage that wherever the gospel is preached, this woman will be talked about for what she has done. His stories to remember and to remind us of what happened. Again, the feast. You know, the Passover feast, because God passed over the homes that had believed him and put the blood on the doorposts and so forth. Remember that night. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Feast of Tabernacles. For God says in Leviticus 23, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you were out in that wilderness, and I took care of you while you made temporary shelters, always looking ahead to the promised land. Remember that. These are the kinds of stories that should have been in the lives of the Jews all the time. The ordinances and the furnishings of the tabernacle, they weren't just, you know, let's put a table over there. You know, it wasn't that. When you go through the book of Exodus from chapter 25 to 31, every single article in the temple, the tabernacle and eventually the temple, but everything has a meaning, an exact meaning. And if the kids start asking questions about what's in there, Dad, he can tell them and tell them why and what it means. That's the point of all that. Or, like Joshua chapter 3, what do these stones mean, Dad? Well, here's what happened way back in your great-great-whatever grandfather's time. Would you believe there was this great city, Jericho? It's rubble now. But it was the strongest city in the land. And we were crossing this river. Wes showed this graphically. I don't need to talk about this. But we were crossing this river at the time of flood, at the time the waters are raging. And God parted the waters again. Reemphasize his power of what he can do. And then we marched around this city and it fell flat. It's things to remember. They're memorials to remember significant things that happen. And you know, for the Christian, likewise. As God used things in the Old Testament like that, of course, he uses things in the New, and particularly what we did this morning. I'm going to say this as I close. When you have a memorial, and I hope I can drive this point home in a very few words. If you live in a place where every day, let's say you lived in Trenton, and every day you might pass by and see a sign that refers to the barracks, and you don't really know the story, and you didn't go, you know, when it was open and it was a tourist attraction, you know, it got to the point where, but you just don't really know what that means. You don't know that leading up to that point of winter, Christmas time, that there had been so many losses and that the soldiers were so discouraged and disgusted, they were ready to quit. They're ready to desert Washington and let's leave this thing. We can't beat Great Britain. I don't care what taxes or whatever they put on us. We just can't beat them. And in an almost desperate attempt, they did some, what was fairly close to humanly impossible things, going up the Delaware River and attacking. And they won that great significant battle. Now, what am I saying in all that? If you live in the area and it's there and you drive past it and you don't really take notice of it, you really don't know the story behind it, you don't know the significance of it, you just start taking it for granted. Or it's just always there. And it's kind of like if you go to church and every Sunday there's going to be that time the song leader is going to choose a song and to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And to some, that's a signal of, okay, the next 15 minutes we're going to be taken up with this eating this cracker and drinking some juice. And some people just kind of sit back and they think about the events of the day and, you know, they think about what they're doing for lunch and all that kind of thing, and, you know, or anything and everything goes on. But it's just not a big deal, and it's not a big deal because you're always around. It's kind of like passing one of those signs every day on the way to work. And you don't really take time to think about it. You don't take time to really meditate upon it. You don't look at the significance. Nobody teaches you or wants you to remember it. And so it's one of those things like, yeah, we just kind of ritually go through this. It's almost like setting off fireworks on the 4th of July and nobody knows why. And so we take this bread and we take this juice and it's not a big deal. And next Sunday we'll do it again. Lest we forget. This day and this time, if it's just 15 minutes a week, is set aside to remember the greatest event in history. The greatest sacrifice that was ever made. The greatest cost that was ever paid. So you can have freedom. You can have advantages. And God means for us to remember. If I look at this memorial and the other various memorials we have, and I don't think about them and I don't really care, then I'm going to forget. I'm going to take it for granted. And I am going to squander the advantages I could have had. Lest we forget. Are you here this morning and you're not a Christian? Jesus died. He shed His blood. Jesus gave His life so you can have the greatest opportunity there ever has been. To go to heaven. To be with God Himself. Jesus died for you so that your sins can be forgiven and your conscience can be clear. You're like some of us, you have great things in your past that you want your conscience cleared from. You want to know those things are forgiven. Jesus died for you so that you can have the advantage of living this life as God intended to enjoy the most out of it. Won't you please come? Won't you obey the gospel this morning, confessing the name of Jesus? Repent and be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. If you've done that and you've fallen away,